What's happening? What's good? What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another installment of the Kwame Fisher Jones Show, brought to you by WWDB AM Talk 860. Special shout out to everybody listening to me on the iHeartRadio app, as well as everyone watching me on Facebook Live, Kwame, Facebook.com/Kwame Fisher Jones, and however else that works. Happy Memorial. I don't know if you should say Happy Memorial Day. So I hope everyone is enjoying the weekend. Memorial Day is not one of those days that I guess you say Happy Memorial Day for. It's kind of messed up to put it that way. But nevertheless, hope everybody's enjoying themselves and having a good time. We are live every Saturday, 4 to 5. It's the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. We've got a great show packed for you, planned for you today. We're going to talk. We're going to definitely got to get into the NFL and the anthem. I don't know where I stand on this. I got to be honest with you. You know, I can't expect the owners to want to lose money. I'm sorry. I get everybody's frustration, but I can't get that. You know what I mean? So we're going to talk NFL, the NFL's decision to separate team and teammates. We definitely got to get into the Houston Golden State series. You know, I will face the music. I may not sing the tunes, but I'm going to face the music. I didn't think Houston would last this long, and they have. But even when I'm right, I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. However you want to phrase it, Chris Paul pulls a hamstring. Doing what Chris Paul does. Gets hurt critical moments out in the elimination game. You know, Seattle Seahawks. For those of you who don't know, Cliff Avril said the players tuned out Pete Carroll. So we'll get into details on that. Kevin Durant is about to let everyone down as he does. Also going to give some NBA offseason predictions about Kawhi Leonard and what I'm hearing. Excuse me. But I got to open up. I would be remiss if I didn't open the show up talking about LeBron Ramon James. And shout out to everybody that's watching me on Facebook and listening to me in the Delaware Valley on 860 AM. You know, we watched one of LeBron's greatest performances. But it seems like we say that every time something's on the line. Once again, Cleveland fought off elimination despite being outscored by the Boston Celtics in the second half. Despite losing their second best player in the first quarter in Kevin Love, who we now hear is not going to play in game 7. Huh? That's how the ball bounces. That's how the cookie crumbles for Mr. James. But yet, Cleveland won again 46-11-9. From LeBron James. By the way, little tidbit here. 14 of those 46 points, yeah, they came in the fourth quarter. And as I'm watching this performance, as I'm watching three after three, as I'm watching him do some of the things that he's done time and time again, I thought about how underrated the season that James has given us has been. I thought about how on June 25th, one of the league's best and brightest and greatest individual forces, who had one of the greatest individual seasons ever, is going to lose the league's most prestigious individual award to a cat that scores a lot of points. A guy who, in his biggest game of the season, and James Harden, went 5-for-21. He's known for his three-point accuracy. He was 0-for-11 with 6 turnovers. And remember how I mentioned LeBron James showed up with the 46 points? And I led you to the 14 points in the fourth quarter. Well, Harden, conversely, gave us a Michael Jordan flu-like game performance in his fourth quarter, dropping a whopping 6 points with 1 assist. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your MVP winner. James Harden. The guy that scores a lot of points. A guy that we all know is not the better player. We know he didn't have the better season. We just know he scored more points per game. 2.9 to be exact. 2.9 more points than LeBron James. That gave him the MVP. Now, is there any doubt that Harden has the better team? No. So why that leads into his team having the better record shouldn't matter. Will anyone question that the Houston Rockets had an outstanding season? No. But if we look back, and I get choked up talking about it. It's like the fourth time I got choked up with it. I think it's something in the air, allergies. But as I look back and I think about the year and I gather myself, I think about it this way. If you just look at the MVP award, it goes to the best player in the league. It doesn't go to the guy whose team had the best year. That's what happens to explain Derrick Rose winning the MVP award. When at the end of the season, everyone said, yeah, probably should have went to LeBron James. Oddly enough, LeBron had more assists per game than Derrick Rose that year and has more assists than James Harden, whether you go total or per game. The guy that has the ball, the guy that leads one of the most potent offensive teams in the NBA, has less assists per game than the guy who plays with J.R. Smith, Kevin Love occasionally, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, and a host of other players you wouldn't even want on your NBA 2K team. This dude is leading this team to possibly another NBA Finals. And if Harden had, and think about this, if Harden had LeBron's season, we'd be sitting around talking about, oh, he's the second best player in the NBA. He's surpassed Kevin Durant. If LeBron had Harden's season, it's what he does. People walk around and say the next star is going to, Giannis is going to be the next LeBron. Kawhi is going to be the next LeBron. That was this year, people. Who was supposed to be the next James Harden? Markelle Fultz? There's not going to be a bigger travesty than on June 25th when James Harden walks up on that stage with Ashanti in tow and takes home an MVP award that we know good damn well he should not be getting. In the month of March, when teams were jockeying for playoff position, LeBron James averaged 30 points. James Harden averaged 27. When you look at total points scored throughout the season, not per game total points, LeBron beats James Harden there. So the one thing Harden does better than James is score points. LeBron still manages to outdo that. And let's not forget that Harden plays with a champion in Trevor Ariza, while LeBron is forced to take the court with a guy who's known for his thought-a-dex. I could not make that up if I tried. In Tristan Thompson. A guy who creates more memes than his three-point shots in J.R. Smith. Again, couldn't make it up if I tried. But every year, we find reasons to eliminate the best individual player in the game to give the best individual award to someone else. In Kevin Durant's best performance, we're going to talk about Kevin Durant later. Kevin Durant's best performance, highest stage, hits the biggest shot of his career. People still said he's undoubtedly the second best player in the NBA. They fight for second because we know who first belongs to. And last night, again, LeBron James showed us why he's the best player in the NBA. And again, we'll watch Steve Nash, Derrick Rose, Kevin Durant, the mailman, and other players get an award because they don't want to give it to LeBron James. The defense will be, well, every year we can always give it to LeBron James. Could you imagine that? Imagine you going to negotiate your salary. Imagine you going to get something at your place of employment, because everybody likes to throw that out there and they say, well, you do a great job, but you always do a great job. How is that a bad thing? It is if you're LeBron. 46, 11, and 9. 5 for 7 from 3 against the best 3-point defensive team in the league. 46, over 50% shooting against the best defensive team left in the playoffs. Of the four defensive teams, or the four teams in the playoffs, LeBron James probably has arguably the sixth worst. I'm going to say that again because I know I lost some of you. Of the four teams left in the playoffs, he has the sixth worst team. His team, meaning his team is so bad, it's not even worth mentioning at this point. But you know what? It doesn't matter because it's James Harden's turn. where in life does that matter? You're waiting at a traffic light. You've been in traffic all day. Do you stop and say, you know what? Go ahead, sir. It's your turn. You're waiting in line to get something to eat. No. You go ahead. It's your turn. You get what you get. That's how it should be played. That's how it should go down. The Cavaliers are playing because of LeBron James. If he doesn't have, think about this. He scores 25 or more. He scores 25 to 30 points. They still lose. James Harden doesn't make a shot in the fourth quarter. His team still wins. If LeBron doesn't play lights out, his team doesn't even reach with it. Doesn't even come close to winning. Harden could sit out a fourth quarter and that team would still win. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the MVP because his team had a better record, or because it's his turn, or because he scores a lot of points. But it's never been because he's the best player. And that's what's infuriating. And an industry that votes on this, and an industry where so many people are supposed to inform and enlighten, it seems like they spend a lot of time doing a great deal of ignoring and slighting. Whether it's Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, or LeBron James. Since when does being the best, playing the best, and doing your best not matter? We'll be right back on the other side. We're going to get into Kevin Durant. I'm going to take you, I give you an extreme high with LeBron James. I'm going to give you an extreme low with Kevin Durant doing Kevin Durant-like things. 4 points in the fourth quarter. Really? That's what we're talking about with Kevin Durant? Had a great conversation with a friend of mine that told me Kevin Durant is the second best player in the NBA. Holy cow. He's a second best. We'll be right back with more Kwame Fisher-Jones Show on Talk WWDBAM.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on your walls, doors, windows, or sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. What's more, just 3 granules of lead dust from old paint can poison your child. If your house was built before 1978 and you have kids 6 years old or younger or are pregnant, it's very important to know what to do. There are simple steps you can take to make your kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD for more information. A message from the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, the EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Kwame Fisher-Jones Show, brought to you by WWDBAM Talk 860. I see my resident LeBron hater, Everett Terry, is in the building. Watch me on Facebook Live. Shout out to everybody else watching me on Facebook Live and everybody listening on the iHeartRadio app. I appreciate your time and jumping in. We jumped onto LeBron James forcing a Game 7. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Kevin Love has been pronounced gone for Game 7. He will be out for Game 7. And it's disappointing. It really is. Because with Kevin Love, it's like he gets a pass. Nobody wants to call this dude out. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to call. Like, people still clown Scottie Pippen for missing the game because he had a heartache. But Kevin Love, he's concussion protocol. Okay. You know, I'm not inside the man's head. I'm not inside the man's heart. But all I know is with the money's on the line, when everybody's looking for you to come up and play big, you're missing it in action. And that's a pretty big deal to me. Look, I'll jump into it right now. I'll piggyback off the last segment. Will Cleveland pull out of Game 7? I don't know. I can't believe Boston has gotten this far. Like, I had a feeling Boston was better than people thought. But I still felt like James was the smartest and best basketball player on the court. And when, you know, I was talking about the MVP, we were talking about it being a regular, and I see comments, it's a regular season award. Yes, and in the regular season, totality from start to finish, James was the better player. Harden had a 60-point triple-double. Whoop-de-damn-do. MVP, he is not. I put it to you, it's a simple way to just stop the argument with MVP award. Simple way to do it. You ask every media member, who would you rather have on your team? Every voting member, who would you rather have on your team? James Harden and LeBron James. That's how you decide the MVP vote. Period. Who would you rather start your organization with? Steve Nash or Shaquille O'Neal? I think we know where you'd go. So stop lowering the standards. Stop Chris Pauling me and lowering the standards in which these players are evaluated. Now, going back to the Boston-Cleveland series, I'm trying to convince myself that Cleveland can pull this out. Boston plays exceptionally well at home. They've been exceptionally well in the playoffs at home. I think Boston pulls this out. Now, that creates so many questions for the later part of the show where we talk about changes. As I say, I tell you, Boston probably won't make any changes, and Gordon Hayward will probably be a bench player next year. But that's a story for another day. I think Boston pulls this out. Now, if you're in Philly, that should hurt you. That should irk your soul because that team rebuilt the same time you did. While we were selling T-shirts, they were in the lab picking players. Now, the other player that's got my fire right now, from one former Oklahoma City Thunder player to the next, and one Kevin Durant. Interesting conversation I had with my man. He says to me, we're talking about LeBron, and he says, you know, I think LeBron's the best, and I think Kevin Durant's the second best player in the NBA. So what do you think about that? And I said, I don't give a damn who second is. That's fine. That's what you want to. You could tell me the second best player in the game is Eric Bledsoe. I don't care. You win or you lose. The order in which you lose is irrelevant to me because you're a loser. If you're dating a girl, dating a dude, or whatever you're into, and they say you're the second best dude or the second best person I've ever been with, do you pat yourself on the back? No. You want a checklist on how you can get the first. If they give you the second best steak in the restaurant, do you pay first-rate prices for it? No. You want the first. You want to be first in everything. You want the best in everything. So I don't care if Kevin Durant is the second best player in the NBA. You know who does? The people who want to absolve him of culpability. The people who act like he didn't just go out to Houston and then come home to Golden State and give out two clunk performances. That's what's going on. If Russell Westbrook was playing the type of basketball in this critical moment that Kevin Durant was playing, which the coach was imploring him, begging him to pass the ball, we would be killing Russell. Not Kevin. No siree, not Kevin. Kevin's cool. Kevin's okay. Kevin's facing an elimination game. And I will bet you, I can't think of a phrase. What is it? Tease the biscuits, dollars to Jordans. I can't think of anything. Somebody give me a friend of it. I bet you all the money in Russia. You like that? I bet you all the money in Russia that Kevin Durant gives you 30 plus this game. And in the end, the Warriors will win because of how Draymond plays, how Klay plays, and how Steph plays. See, that's the details. The headline is Kevin Durant scores X amount of points. The details are he goes to Golden State so he doesn't have to carry the load. He can go out and play and have fun and do what he does. Because Kevin Durant scores in elimination games. I think he's averaging almost 30 points a game in elimination games. But you know what Kevin Durant doesn't give you in elimination games? Assists. You know what Kevin Durant doesn't do for you in elimination games? Get other people involved. You know what he doesn't do in elimination games? Give you rebounds. He doesn't do something other than what's in his comfort zone. And that's always been my issue with Kevin Durant. And that will always be my issue with Kevin Durant. And as I sit back and watch a dude that joined the 73-win team because they wanted to replace Harrison Barnes – Think about that. This team wanted to replace Harrison Barnes. I think he was a third pick in the draft. The same draft that brought them Draymond, if I'm not mistaken. They wanted to replace Harrison Barnes, so they brought in Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hit a left side pull-up in Cleveland that sealed the deal. And the world lost their collective minds. But he's still the same dude that was up 3-1. He's still the same dude that in that series 3-1 watched Klay Thompson light their butts on fire for three straight games. When it's crunch time, when the proverbial ish hits the fan, Kevin Durant will always let you down. He'll always be on the team that's with disappointment. This time, he's with a group of guys who can save him. And for some reason, these dudes are deferring to him. But methinks, in this critical moment, them dudes are watching film. And they're going to rise to the occasion. I believe Steph Curry will do what Steph Curry does. I believe Klay Thompson will do what Klay Thompson does. And I believe they'll have a good game. Now, I got to be honest here, though. Part of me, I don't know if I should say this because it's going to sound really evil. Part of me wants to see Golden State lose because I am tired of hearing. It's two things I'm tired of hearing in this world. No, it's three. It's three. Three things I'm tired of hearing. I'm tired of hearing people complain about Donald Trump's tweets. Stop reading them. Problem solved. Problem solved. I'm tired of hearing it's James Harden's turn. And I'm tired of hearing no matter what you do, you can't be Golden State. You can be Golden State. You have to be committed to beating Golden State. Now, I did not think Houston would be Golden State. Full disclosure. I could never have seen that happening. In 888-329-3306, give me a call. Tell me where you saw, where I can go and verify that you picked Houston to be Golden State. 888-329-3306. Because I don't think anybody thought you... Pause. I don't believe anyone believed in their heart or were willing to put the mortgage on the line to bet on Houston. I think Houston is shocked that they won that game. Game five, that is. I think they're shocked at it. I think that most people believed Golden State would find a way to pull it out. And I still believe that. I still believe Golden State. But with that said, I would love nothing more than to watch a Cleveland-Houston NBA Finals. Because as I said, we have watched the MVP award go to dudes who should not have gotten it. And LeBron come and get his award and his championship. So it would be nice to watch Cleveland beat Houston in the NBA Finals. But with that being said, I don't see that happening. Not today. It would be anticlimactic if Houston beat Golden State. It'd be the equivalent of Joe Frazier losing to George Foreman. While Ali was waiting to get his belt back and plotting on how to beat Frazier. And then Foreman, I'm losing like half my iPhone crowd right now. But then Joe Frazier loses to Foreman, so Ali's got to go to be Foreman. And I believe Foreman was the Rumble in the Jungle. I believe Foreman was the Rumble in the Jungle, and Ali played rope-a-dope and got his belt. That's what it would be like. It would be anti-climax. Like, I want to see the King take down the Warriors. And I especially want to see him take out Golden State. So maybe that's why I'm still holding on to this, I believe. But I also know James Harden's track record. I also know Mike D'Antoni's track record. Excuse me, Mike Antoni, because there's no D in that man. Antoni's track record. And I watch these dudes every year come with the excuses. I coined a phrase years ago. More excuses than a virgin on prom night of why they cannot get it done. Time and time and time and time again. I don't see that changing. In fact, I see it coming to fruition more as I watch Chris Paul pull his hamstring on, I don't know what that was, a fallback fadeaway, I don't even know, double dribble, I don't know what that was. It was the second worst move. The first was the shimmy that he did. Gotta love that pit bull, though. Gotta love him. When this series is over, I'm going to pull Chris Paul's stats, and I want to sit around a round table with a bunch of people that give excuses. But I keep thinking and feeling like it's going to go down. So I'm just going to stay with Golden State. I'm going to stay with Golden State, and I pick them to win this game. And if I'm wrong, so be it. It won't be the first time in my life I was wrong. Been wrong about a couple things. I thought Joel Embiid wouldn't play more than 50 games. I was wrong there. There you go. I thought David Fizdale was going to the Lakers. I was wrong there. So I've had a couple miscues this year, but I'm sticking with Golden State. I'm sticking with this team. I'm sticking with what I've seen them do over the years, and I believe that they will not so much freeze Kevin Durant out, but you'll see that ball fly around, and I'm going to mark this down, take a picture, put it in print. Steph Curry will have more field goal attempts this game than Kevin Durant. I like that. I like that. So we're going to get ready to take a break. When we come back, I don't want to get into NFL anthem this early. I'm going to go off-season playoffs moves because I got to talk the NFL. I've got to talk about what's going on in the sports climate. I was listening to somebody coming up, and they were talking about how the NFL is still popular and still kills the NBA. Yeah, locally. They ain't talking about the NFL in China. They ain't talking about the NFL in Bangladesh or Yugoslavia or Serbia or Mexico or Turkey. Shall I continue? Yeah, they're talking about the NFL in Iowa and Pennsylvania and Ohio. Talk to me when they're talking about it in other countries. The NBA essentially said when Mike retired, the NFL can have this. We're going to go global. And they've done a fantastic job of it. That's why their players have guaranteed contracts and health insurance. So we'll be right back on the other side with more. Kwame Fitzgerald Show and Talk, WWDB AM, Talk 860.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The
only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
The thing is, I would never give blood before. You know, before this happened to me, I thought of every excuse in the book, but I'm so thankful that everybody didn't think the way I did, or I would have died.
Like so many new mothers, Noelle needed blood during the birth of her son. Thanks to the American Red Cross and a donor like you, it was there. One donation, just an hour of your time, can help save up to 3 lives. Please sign up to give now at redcrossblood.org.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. We were talking NBA, opened up talking some LeBron James, then kind of transitioned to Kevin Durant and piggybacked that into the Houston Golden State series. I'm still going with Golden State despite being down 3-2. I don't buy into Houston. They are what they are, and you are who you are in this world. Chris Paul, as I've said, I think if you go back way back on the show NBA Files, I said that there will be there are some guarantees in life, and you know there are a lot of guarantees. The president is going to say something that's going to tick everybody off. You know, you're going to be late going somewhere. Your wife or boyfriend's going to make you want to stab them in their sleep. And Chris Paul's going to get hurt. Those are things you can guarantee are going to happen in life. And lo and behold, they've all come to fruition. Except the spouse one. I would never think such horrifying things. But you get the gist of my point here. We knew this would go down, and I'm going to stay with that consistency, with that pattern. Chris Paul's hurt. James Harden is doing well. Remember, this is the same dude that got blocked by Manu Ginobili. And this is the same coach that said, we'll get on our giddy up. Yes, he used giddy up in a sentence. I ain't rocking with them, man. I ain't hitching my wagon to them dudes. Now, a lot of news going on in the NFL. Two of the big stories that I will touch base on. Two of the huge stories that I'm going to have to touch base on is the NFL and their new rule that players have to stand if they're on the field. I'm going to save that because that's a heavy, heavy topic. And I still don't know where I want to go with it. And also Cliff Avril making some comments, some strong comments against Pete Carroll and the decision that he made in the Super Bowl. You know, I think that in life, a lot of times you make decisions and you have to ride with them. And there's this perception that you forget and you forgive. But everybody's not capable of doing that. Everybody doesn't believe that, you know, you can move on and act like what happened didn't happen. I know I can't. I know in my world, you know, you have to move forward. But I don't think I ever forgive or forget. I don't think I'm capable of it. I don't think I want to be capable of it. If somebody hurts me, I want to know. I want to remember that. I want to hold on to that. I want to keep that feeling. Because in the end, that person is somebody that I always want to keep an eye on. I always want to be aware of what they did. Someone tells you who they are through their actions. Listen. So, you know, I guess I'll get into it now. I don't really know where to go with this NFL thing. I don't. When I heard the ruling that players could stay in the locker room during the anthem, I thought to myself that, you know, so what they're basically doing is isolating those players. So when they come out, people can say, oh, okay, well, this guy doesn't love him. Because any logical thinking person is well aware that this is not about, you know, any of the things that they've tried, any of the things that have been portrayed out there. Whether it's not supporting the troops or, you know, anything that's going out there, we know that that has not been the case. We're well aware of that. Any logical person knows that. So you're not dealing with logical people when you make rules to pander to that crowd. You're not. So acting like we are, or acting like it's what's best for the league, is a bold-faced lie. It's basically what's best for the bottom line. Now, with that, therein lies the conundrum. Therein lies the contradiction. Because I can't be mad at a person who wants to make money at all costs. I can't be mad at a person who doesn't really give a damn about your feelings, is concerned about making a buck. I can't be mad about that person because that's the society we live in. And that's where I part with so many people in this decision and my feelings on it, because so many people feel like, oh, well, you need to worry about the team and you need to know that, you know, you need to be concerned with everybody and you need to keep, you got to keep society in there and they should be concerned about what's going on. No, they shouldn't. And then the flip side with the players, I'm not upset with the players. I'm not upset with Dak Prescott, who says I'll be out there standing. He doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want to lose the money. He doesn't want to be there. And while you're disappointed, you can't get upset. So where does that leave you? And for me, it's a much bigger issue that this belief that we as people, we as Americans, we as children, we as Black people need the NFL to be successful members of society. And it's something that does not get talked about enough. To play in the NFL, you have to be an intelligent person. And I know that balks the belief that's out there that these are some Neanderthals, but the days of the Neanderthals are done. Anyone that believes that an NFL player is stupid, I implore you to look at a playbook. I implore you to try to break down a defense. These guys are very intelligent people. Now, they may devote their intelligence to just the NFL, and that's their pleasure, that's their choice. But this notion that they can't do anything else in society and that they're forced to play in the NFL because of how hard life is for them where they come from, I call BS. Not only that their circumstances are hard, but that they're not intelligent enough to do something else. I don't believe that. I don't believe Terrell Owens couldn't find another way to be a productive member in society. Therefore, he doesn't need Jerry Jones's money. He wants it because it makes things easier. Well, life ain't about water, ice, and grasshoppers. Sometimes you got to do things you don't want. And I'm speaking from personal experience, because a person had a conversation with me when I was at my lowest point, when I thought I had arrived at an opportunity I had worked so hard for. And I wasn't getting that because of I wasn't getting the chances that other people were getting because of the color of my skin. And I tried every way around it. And this person said, I've known you for years. You've never begged for a seat at anyone's table. Go do something else. Go do something else you love. Go find another way to be successful. I said, but it's hard. And she said, it doesn't matter. It ain't always easy. But you got to make a decision. If you're going to do these things, if you're going to accept that, I don't want to hear about it. Everything in life costs. And if you want to play in the NFL, this is your price. There is no fair in real life. A fair is a place where you deep fry butter and raise pigs. There is no fair in real life. And it sucks to high heaven. Yes, it does. But it is what it is. Jerry Jones will never know. Bob McNair will never know. Jeffrey Lurie will never know what we go through in everyday life. So to be angry that they don't react the way we would react is asinine. Colin Kaepernick is still not in the NFL. Do you have any questions? They essentially sabotaged their collusion case because in this rule, Colin is now, there is no doubt that he is being blackballed. There is no doubt now. So they said, we're willing to pay that man to keep him quiet. And if any of you want to be like him, you'll get a couple dollars, but you won't get to play in the NFL. And that's why I said it's so important that Colin never plays again, because those owners, those fans, those people, the illogical people that think that it had anything to do with anything other than social injustice, they needed to understand that, damn it, we can do other things in life. We can be successful contributing members to society other than toting a rock and shut up and dribbling a ball. I told you it was a heavy topic and I didn't want to get into it towards the end of the show, but I had to. And I'll lighten up and talk about some of the things I'm seeing on here. But it's sad that so many people believe that we have to play in the NFL. You don't. And, you know, I'm not defending what the owners did. If anything, I'm applauding them for standing out and saying, you know what? Later for the crap. This is how we feel. This is how we feel. Because the military pays them to do that before the games. I would be fine if we didn't have to stand. I don't care. They don't even televise the damn thing. So at this point, at this juncture, it's simple. They don't want to hear about it anymore. So they brought off who they could and they scared off the rest. And whoever was left, they isolated them. Can you imagine what those players are going to have thrown at them when they come on the field? The first time a quarterback says, and I heard Dr. Harry Edwards talk about this on Stephen A. Smith's show. The first time someone says a quarterback or anyone has to say, no, I wasn't boycotting the anthem. I just had to get some treatment. This is going to be a discussion. And all I'm saying is, yes, it's hard to make $30 million somewhere. It's hard to do the things and reap the benefits and get all the acclaim that comes with playing in the NFL. But hard is not impossible. And if you take that energy and devote it to something other than training to play football, you'll be surprised at the results. You do not need the NFL. We do not need the NFL. When I stopped being a fan of the Eagles, it was difficult. But I could not root for Jason Kelce. I could not act like he wasn't standing right next to Riley Cooper. I could not root for Chip Kelly. And I could not stand by a fan base that believed that a player was a gang member, that applauded pushing out the greatest running back in the franchise's history for a guy that had a sexual assault case. I couldn't do that. So I made the conscious decision to not be an Eagles fan anymore. And it hurt. I've been an Eagles fan all my life. I've done things in the name of being an Eagles fan and Cowboy fans that I can't even say because the cases are still pending. But the truth of the matter was I made a decision. And that's what we need to find. We need to find another way to do things. Find another way to be contributing members than to have our livelihoods contingent upon people who detest us. Because that's what it is. How many times are you going? How many times have you heard through this whole protest? I mean, I don't want to hear about that. I just want to watch the game. So then your frustration should be with CNN and Fox and the media members, not with the players, but it lies with the players. So don't be illiterate. Read between the lines. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to breathe. Hopefully my producers will look at me again. And we'll be back with more Kwame Fitzgerald Show. We're going to talk offseason moves, Kawhi Leonard. Don't be surprised if Chris Paul doesn't re-up in Houston. LeBron going to L.A. I'm going to get all those predictions out there. I want to get them all before the NBA Finals start. So we'll be right back with more of the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. WWDB Talk 860.
Unfortunately, many people facing foreclosure believe they're on a one-way street.
How did I end up here?
Please take next exit.
What? But there is no exit.
It may not seem that way now, but I'm giving you the right directions to help you save your home from foreclosure.
Okay, talking to my GPS. I must really need help.
Facing foreclosure alone is stressful. That's why you need advice from a HUD-approved housing counselor. They offer expert, trustworthy advice that might help you avoid foreclosure no matter how difficult the situation seems.
It's difficult, all right.
And best of all, the advice is free.
Wow.
Now please exit this road you've been on for far too long.
Facing foreclosure? Don't go it alone. Get the right directions from a HUD-approved housing counselor today. For more information, visit www.hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas, then get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Kwame Fisher Jones Show. Brought to you by Talk 860 WWDBAM. A friend of mine told me I need to get a tissue. But he just told me I sound winded. Dude, you guys don't get it, man. This topic is so tough to talk about. You know, and that's why I opened the show talking about the greatness of LeBron and how he should win the MVP. And I still see people buying the propaganda. Oh, no, it's James Harden's award to lose. Get out of here, man. You watch regular season game tape. Like I said, later for all the nonsense. Just a simple question. You're starting an NBA franchise right now, this very moment. You're picking James Harden, LeBron James. And if you say James Harden, I'm not looking. I'm not paying you any attention. We talked about Kevin Durant letting people down, but I still believe in Golden State, and I want to go on record that I believe Steph Curry will have more field goal attempts than Kevin Durant in this game. Steph is an assassin. He's one of my favorite players. And then I transition to the NFL and how it became necessary to just to if you have a problem, to walk away. And it's hard. You know, I talked about the Eagles. I'll even go deeper. Hip hop. I'm a huge hip hop dude. 90s hip hop. I love hip hop. But I don't listen to hip hop anymore. Not the new stuff. Migos, the thought of Migos makes my tongue itch. Like, I can't take them. Stab me with a spoon with Cardi B. I'm happy for the young lady, but dude, I'm so good on Cardi B. So I had to put hip hop down. It's not my thing anymore. Whether it's the Beastie Boys to the Yin Yang Twins and now Migos, that act has always been around, but now you've got 17 different variations of them. I don't know what the hell Future's talking about. If we were in Sam Goody, yes, pause, I said Sam Goody. We're in Sam Goody, what section would Future be in? Soulistic neo hip hop? Like, so yeah, I put hip hop down. When you know better, you do better. And the belief that either you swing, either you got a wicked jump, if you're slinging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot, is not true. It's not true. You can do other things in life. You don't have to play in the NFL. But if you do, this is the decision you made. These are the people you are appealing to. These, you are your own oppressor, because these are the people that are signing your checks and getting you and giving you money. The same people who want you to shut up. They don't give a damn about your life. And the moment you try to formulate something to make your life better, they're coming with the sledgehammer. It's just the way the ball bounces. Now that we got all that off the chest, all that off the wind, I'm not winded. It was a heavy topic. I didn't know where to go with it all week. Feel good, though. Let's talk NBA offseason moves. So, actually, you know what? Check that. Let's talk a little Seattle Seahawks, because I think the Seattle Seahawks, Richard Sherman is now San Francisco 49er. Michael Bennett is now Philadelphia Eagle. Cliff Avril hasn't passed inspection. Hasn't passed his physical, so he's not playing. So, a lot of dudes, the Seahawks have made a lot of changes. And I thought they would be okay because instead I had my man Russell Wilson. But now I'm starting to believe that the Seahawks are imploding. And I believe that they are on the brink of a disaster season. For those of you who don't know, Cliff Avril comes out on a podcast. And he talked about how the players essentially tuned out or got turned off by Pete Carroll after the Super Bowl. Yeah, a podcast on NFL Network after the Super Bowl. After they decided to pass the ball and Malcolm Butler made a magnificent play, a terrific play, a play that to this day still doesn't get the credit it so richly deserves. He gets an interception. Tom Brady's a hero. Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks are GOATs. And they're saying that we would have won another Super Bowl. And there's the difference between one Super Bowl was better than one Super Bowl win, two. And they said they essentially turned off Pete Carroll. And that's an interesting story to me, because the Seahawks have made a plethora of changes. And they're essentially changing the identity of their team. But they still got the same driver. They changed the menu, the name of the restaurant, but they still got the same chef. So what's really going to be different about the Seattle Seahawks? Nothing. So that same ship that be sinking, it's still going to be sinking. And Cliff Avril's comments, Richard Sherman, and the reports, take Richard Sherman out of the equation for a second, and the reports that the Seahawks had issues in the locker room proved to be true. And like I said before we went to break, forgive and forget is a lie. It's some hippie logic out there. Show me a healthy person that forgives and forgets. You have to learn from your experiences. Was it serenity now and sanity later? You have to learn from your experiences, or else you're doomed to repeat the same thing over and over again. So you never get over that loss, but you learn from it. But did the Seahawks really learn from it? Did they? Because they haven't been back. They haven't made the necessary changes to get better. The offensive line was still in shambles. They still haven't invested in a high-quality pounding back since Marshawn Lynch left. You know, so I don't think they've learned from it at all. So I believe that they're headed down the very slippery slope of irrelevancy, which is dangerous when you're in Seattle because people already don't care about you outside of Seattle. It's very, very dangerous. And losing Richard Sherman, losing the players who gave that team the backbone and helped them come, to quote the great philosopher Jake, from the bottom to the top, are now no longer in the building. And show me the first time Russell Wilson takes a stance on something will be, you know, the next time will be the first time with him. And sometimes you got to have people, you got to have that irreverent personality to get dirty, to get nasty, get in there. So Russell Wilson will probably have a magnificent season. He will probably statistically be one of the top quarterbacks. But the Seattle Seahawks as a team are really looking like a 500 club, if that. Which means the 49ers would have to be a little better, which makes sense because those wins have to go somewhere. I think the Cardinals go down a step. I think the Rams go down a little bit, not by much. Still think they're a 10-win team. And then we'll be sitting here next talking about, should we move Pete Carroll? Should we make a move for Pete Carroll? So that's my two NFL topics to keep everybody excited. That's my two NFL topics. You know, I got nine minutes left. I don't want to take a break yet. I want to just transition from Pete Carroll possibly moving on and the NFL moving to a less popular, to the NFL not being able to duplicate the success globally that the NBA duplicates. And the reason why the NBA is able to have that success, and the reason why the NBA is able to be known globally, is because the NBA is built around its players. So when a player moves or when a player leaves, they don't just take with them their talents. LeBron didn't just take his talents to South Beach. He took an enterprise. He reinvigorated, he rejuvenated a community, and that's what players do. So this offseason is going to be it's going to be filled with a lot of moves. There's already reports now that Paul George is allegedly going to re-up in Oklahoma City. I don't buy that. I don't buy that one bit. I think Paul George is headed to Los Angeles. I think he's in Los Angeles right now. I think he's at Magic's house right now having carrot dogs. Like, I do. I don't think anyone chooses Oklahoma over California on purpose for anything. And if you give me Russell Westbrook, I don't care because I'm not a Russell Westbrook fan anymore. So you can have that, but we see why Russell chose Oklahoma City, because he can do whatever the hell he wants, which is what he does, which is essentially all he does. But I believe Paul George is headed. Now, the question is, will LeBron follow him? Yes. Yes. Think LeBron James will be a Los Angeles Laker. So now it's like, how? So now it's trickle down economics. Trickle down. What else? Kevin Durant's a free agent. Does Kevin Durant leave Golden State? A reliable person, a reliable media person that I listen to, that I follow, and I'm not going to tell you guys, mainly because I don't want you guys stealing my thunder, said that don't be surprised if the Golden State Warriors make a major change if they don't win an NBA title this year. And I found that baffling, and then I thought about it. So the first thing that comes to mind is, well, then it's got to be Kevin Durant. But no, maybe it's not. We heard earlier that they were negotiating with Klay Thompson about re-upping, but then we didn't hear anything else about it. Now, the way the NBA works, especially with player movements, is controlled by agents. So an agent will float a story out to get people to bite on it to drive up the value of a player. Could it be possible, and this is just me, you know, kind of hitting balls at the park here, could it be possible that Klay Thompson could be headed to Los Angeles? Klay is going somewhere on the West Coast. He's not coming east. There was a time a few years ago where I thought you could possibly pry him from Golden State. Didn't happen. I think that ship sailed. So could Klay Thompson possibly be on the move? I say yes. Golden State doesn't win the title this year. Klay Thompson, I believe, is on the move. 1 year left on his deal. Decides he doesn't want to re-up. Presently can shoot. Golden State has won two titles in Klay's time there. They've lost two. So an opportunity for him to go out while he's still young and maybe be part of another championship team. Possibly the Lakers with LeBron James. Or Maybe another team. Maybe another team that's focused on rebuilding quickly. Another team that could be closer to competing than we think. I don't know. Maybe San Antonio. Could Clay go to San Antonio? It's a possibility. I don't see it happening. I think he goes to Los Angeles if he leaves. So that's the deal. Keep an eye on Los Angeles with Klay Thompson. Another one is I don't know if Chris Paul's going to re-up with Houston, especially if they don't win. If you're Daryl Morey, why are you going to pay him that much money when he's already blown a tire without even making it to the NBA Finals? I don't think Houston can have a better year than what they had this year. So why would you turn around and pay him that much money? I don't think Daryl Morey does it. Now, it may be a Kevin Love thing where they've already negotiated a deal and it could be right there. But if Daryl Morey's got a shot at getting someone else, does he let Chris Paul go? It's very logical, very likely. And think about this. DeJounte Murray just won a first-team all-defense. He's one of the bright young players in the NBA. But San Antonio was rumored to be hot and heavy after Chris Paul. LaMarcus Aldridge, DeJounte Murray, Chris Paul, and Kawhi Leonard. I know I sound crazy, but just think about it for a moment. Just think about it. It could possibly happen. A lot of moves happening in the NBA. A lot of players will be moving. That DeMarcus Cousins comes to mind. Where would DeMarcus Cousins go? I don't believe DeMarcus Cousins re-ups in New Orleans unless there's no money out there for him. I think he would prefer to take a one-year deal with the Clippers than to go back to New Orleans. But you never know. But he is a free agent. Clint Capella, I believe, is a free agent. So Houston has a chance to completely rebuild their team. DeAndre Jordan's another free agent. There's a lot of good players that are going to be available that are on the right side of 30. So if you're Houston, if you're the Pelicans, and you know, I even throw one more name out there. If you're Oklahoma City, you're not going to give it away to these guys. Especially Sam Presti in Oklahoma City. Because he's facing a hot seat right now. People are calling for his position. Too many of his former guys are playing in the NBA. Or playing for the title. Too many of them. So I'm going to take a quick break. Get a quick breather. I'm still pushing with him. I got 50, 58. No, I'll finish it out. I didn't think I went that long. I can talk, can I? So yeah, a lot of good moves. But the name I want everyone to keep an eye on, the guy I believe that's going to control the dominoes, is Paul George. If Paul George doesn't go to the Lakers, for some reason, Paul George doesn't wind up with the Lakers unless he winds up with the Clippers or even, you know, just like even winds up in like Phoenix. Who knows? But somewhere west or somewhere outside of Los Angeles, keep an eye on Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard. Because I believe it's signed, sealed, LeBron. Now, because I say that, watch, I jinx myself. Signed, sealed for LeBron to wind up in Los Angeles and play for Magic Johnson. So just keep an eye on that. If Paul George doesn't, I'll say it again. I know the music plan. I'm going to say it one more time. Paul George doesn't wind up with the Lakers. Keep an eye on Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson. That's it for the Kwame Fitzjones Show. For those listening to iHeartRadio, for those listening to Talk 860, and for those watching on Facebook Live, as always, I appreciate your time here. I'll talk to you later. Be easy.